The gospel reading this morning is from Luke, the 10th chapter, verses 16 to 20. Whoever listens to you listens to me, and whoever rejects you rejects me, and whoever rejects me rejects the one who sent me. The 72 returned with joy, saying, Lord, in your name even the demons submit to us. He said to them, I watched Satan fall from heaven like a flash of lightning. Indeed, I have given you authority to tread on snakes and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing will hurt you. Nevertheless, do not rejoice at this, that the spirits submit to you, but rejoice that your names are written in heaven. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
And the Old Testament reading from 2 Kings chapter 5, verses 1 through 14. Naaman, commander of the army of the king of Aram, was a great man and in high favor with his master, because by him the Lord had given victory to Aram. The man, though a mighty warrior, suffered from a skin disease. Now the Arameans, on one of their raids, had taken a young girl captive from the land of Israel, and she served Naaman's wife. She said to her mistress, if only my lord were with the prophet who is in Samaria, he would cure him of his skin disease. So Naaman went in and told his lord just what the girl from the land of Israel had said. And the king of Aram said, go then, and I will send along a letter to the king of Israel. He went, taking with him 10 talents of silver, 6,000 shekels of gold, and 10 sets of garments. He brought the letter to the king of Israel, which read, when this letter reaches you, know that I have sent to you my servant Naaman, that you may cure him of his skin disease. When the king of Israel read the letter, he tore his clothes and said, am I God to give death or life, that this man sends word to me to cure a man of his skin disease? Just look and see how he is trying to pick a quarrel with me. But when Elisha, the man of God, heard that the king of Israel had torn his clothes, he sent a message to the king. Why have you torn your clothes? Let him come to me that he may learn that there is a prophet in Israel. So Naaman came with his horses and chariots and halted at the entrance of Elisha's house. Elisha sent a messenger to him saying, go wash in the Jordan 7 times, and your flesh shall be restored, and you shall be clean. But Naaman became angry and went away saying, I thought that for me he would surely come out and stand and call on the name of the Lord his God, and would wave his hand over the spot and cure the skin disease. Are not Abana and Harpur, the rivers of Damascus, better than all the waters of Israel? Could I not wash in them and be clean? He turned and went away in a rage. But his servants approached and said to him, Father, if the prophet had commanded you to do something difficult, would you have not done it? How much more when all he said to you was, wash and be clean? So he went down and immersed himself 7 times in the Jordan, according to the word of the man of God. His flesh was restored like the flesh of a young boy, and he was clean. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
I love these Old Testament stories. They have so much to teach us. You see, even Naaman, the commander in the king's army, the one who was loved by his master, the king, the one who seemingly had everything, wasn't immune to disease. Even though he was a strong man, a victor in battle and all of that, he developed that feared, that dreaded disease that would cause him not only to have a disease, but to be outcast in society. You see, he had what they called then leprosy. Leprosy was so feared because it was contagious. And because it could, well, it could kill you. That fear caused those who suffered from leprosy to be shunned, to be put aside, to be made to stay away from people. So not only was the leper sick, but also unsupported. No one came, no one brought food, no one even came near. Then there's this servant girl. No, she wasn't a servant. Actually, she was a slave. She's been taken against her will to a place foreign to her or sold into slavery and forced into service for no pay. Yet even then, she knew of a way to help Naaman. She showed grace as she told him where help could be found. You see, this whole story is a story of grace. It's also a story of arrogance, a story of politics. Friends, like all of them, it's a story of truth. The Israelite slave girl knew that there was power for healing in Israel. So her information sent Naaman with a letter to that land. But he doesn't go to the prophet who's known to have healed people. He goes to the most important person in the kingdom. The politician, the one who's supposed to know everything that's of any consequence in the kingdom and to have the power to call upon those who can get things done. And being a politician, the king interprets the coming of Naaman not as an act of faith, which it is, but rather as an act of political consequence, as an act of aggression. And he says to himself, he sends me this sick person and demands that his healing, and he knows I can't heal him. He must be looking for a reason to go to war with me. And reading disaster into this situation, the king just rips his clothing in that dramatic gesture of fear and frustration. But being a prophet, Elijah has access to the local grapevine. And so he hears what's going on. He hears those rumors that the king has some kind of distress. He hears that the king has torn his robe. That is a big deal. So off goes Elijah to find out what the problem is. And when he hears the story, he tells that king, just send him to me. I'll take care of this one. I've got it. Now remember, Naaman was quite the important man in his country. So when Naaman arrived at the place where the prophet was, he expected royal treatment. After all, he had this letter of introduction from the king himself. It was obvious, to Naaman at least, that there should be special treatment. At the very least, he would expect Elisha to come running out to welcome him. But when he approaches Elisha's place, what happens? Elisha just sends out his servant. He doesn't come out and listen to Naaman's case for why he should be kept on the earth. Dare he send someone else? Why isn't the prophet himself making appropriate homage to me as emissary of the king? It was an insult not to be tolerated. Instead, Out comes the sermon. Sir, I don't know what it is with me today. Out comes the servant. And he tells him, go wash in the Jordan River 7 times and you'll be made clean. Naaman says to himself, I am disgusted. What does that stream that these people call the river have over the rivers in my country? The Jordan's muddy. It isn't even mighty. In fact, it can hardly be called a river at all. There are so many bigger and better rivers in my country of Damascus. Surely I could wash in them and become clean. And he huffed and he puffed and he stomped away. He was angry, he was disgusted, he was going to take his leprosy and go home. But Naaman's servants had more common sense than did this great military leader. They went to him, and I expect very, very carefully and very, very respectfully told him he was being an idiot. If he told you to do something hard, would you not have done it? Do you want to be healed? We've heard that question before. Who asked it? Who asked, do you want to be healed? Jesus. Yes, we have to consider that one. You see, the whole thing, it wasn't about doing acts of courage for Naaman. It wasn't about his being special, and it wasn't at all about the magical powers of the Jordan River, because it doesn't have any. What it was about was obedience and humility. Arrogance and disobedience were what were keeping Naaman from being healed right then, and it would take humility and obedience for that healing to come about. And so he went and he washed in the muddy Jordan River and he was healed. Now, we ask ourselves, what can we take away from this story? What, we ask ourselves, is keeping us from being healed in whatever part of our soul and spirit need to be healed? Are we in need of grace? Yes, we all are. And what is keeping us from accepting that grace that God so freely offers? You see, grace is a tricky thing. We so want to make God's mercy all about us, when in truth, God's grace, God's mercy doesn't have anything to do with us. It's all about God. We all come to God as sinners, yet God offers us grace anyway. That's God's nature. God loves us, and that love exceeds our worthiness. I think as human beings, we would understand it so much better if we had to go and do something hard to earn God's love. But we don't. God's love, God's grace has been given to us freely. No strings attached. All we have to do is accept. Accept that we have nothing to do, that we have done nothing to deserve that grace. And God offers it to us. And so because of that, we walk with God down into the muddy waters of obedience, of humility, and follow.
All we have to do is swallow our pride and look to Jesus.
Friends, this is good news. We come here Sunday after Sunday to hear good news. The grace of God is the good news that we come to hear. And because we're human, we have to hear it in many different ways in order for it to permeate these thick skulls of ours. If we had to do more than face the truth of our own reality, it might be easier for us to comprehend. If that were the case, we could brag about what we did to deserve the riches that God has given us. If it were hard, if the grace of God were harder than facing the truth, would it be easier for us to accept? And yet, when you think about it, facing our own truth can be the hardest thing we ever do. Would we follow if it were harder? We won't know, because that's not how God has arranged things for us. God asks only that we accept the truth that we are indeed creatures in need of grace, and that we follow the need with acceptance of grace freely offered to us, that we be humble enough to see that truth and obedient enough follow. Ask yourself this week, if grace were harder to obtain, would we find it easier to accept? Amen.
You've been listening to a podcast from Wabash Presbyterian Church. For more sermons and resources, please visit us at wabashpresbyterian.com.